today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. And I'm your host, Jonathan Howe. And as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Church growth from a numerical point of view equals the following: those who come into the church, and then minus those who leave the church.
That's pretty much easy math.
That's pretty simple. Let's talk about how those leave the church. You can leave the church by death.
Now, I don't recommend that.
Well,
you can only do that once, though.
It does happen. There are many churches that will continue to keep you on the membership rolls long past death, but you will not be attending regularly unless my theology is a little bit off. I think that
a lot off.
So death is one way. Another way is to move out of the community. You no longer live there, so you can no longer attend. Another one is to transfer to another church within the community. Mm-hmm. All of those are ways that people leave the church. There's another way, and it's a generic way that could include going to another church or could include just not going to church at all, and we call them dropouts. Mm-hmm. And dropouts are so much more common than most church leaders are willing to admit. And I often talk about the front door, how people come into the church, and we'll often say that the first touch point of a front door is the website and then the worship service, but how people ultimately come into the church and then how they leave or why they leave. We will devote this podcast to talking about why people leave the church, but we will take a little bit different approach. We're going to do an early warning system, early signs. So when you begin to see this, you might be able to do something ahead of time before he or she drops out.
Because it's a lot easier to keep him from leaving than it is to try to bring him back.
It is incredibly difficult, 5 to 6 to 7 times more difficult to reclaim someone than to bring someone in. A lot of effort involved.
All right, so let's go. We got 6 points. You covered this in a blog post, one of the first blog posts of 2016. I think it was on the Wednesday of 2016. The first Wednesday of 2016, you talked about this. We'll link to the post if you want to see the full discussion there. Number one, a decreased frequency in attendance. It makes sense. They start coming less and less and less and less, and then they just stop coming.
They just fade away. The problem is that many churches do not know, and this would be the case in a church of 100 or more. So it's not just large churches. Many churches do not have an awareness of when someone starts attending less frequently. Let me give an example. Martha is an example of the church of First Merle. I've given stories about my first church, and Merle was the search committee, and he was the deacon. He was the deacon chairman, vice chairman, and the entire body.
He's the most famous deacon in America based on this podcast, I think.
I think so, too. He was also, did I let you know he was the worship leader?
Yes.
And then
his wife played the piano.
Ruby, she played the piano. And so in this church, when we got to, during my tenure, the peak attendance, 70 to 80 in attendance, there was an example, and this particular lady started attending less frequently. But here's what happened. She was coming every Sunday, and then we suspect three times a month, and nobody really thought anything. And then it got to be about every other week, and nobody thought anything. And then it got to be about once a month, and that's when we said, you know, have you seen Martha? Have you, you know, where is she? But then at that point, she dropped out, and we never reclaimed her. Hmm. We went back and reflected upon the point that it seemed like she was attending fewer times, but we weren't absolutely certain because we had no mechanism to try to find out if she was there or not.
Yeah, and this is a lot more difficult with adults than children.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times children are there. If you have children's worship and you take a role or something like that, you can at least know. But like if adults, if they're just coming to worship,
it's very difficult.
Very difficult. And that's why we talk about the importance of getting in small groups, because that's at least trackable. You can tell whenever people are missing small groups, because in theory, you're taking role. If you're not taking role, then we need to talk about that.
Yeah, well, we do need to talk about that. That's a huge issue, because there are some church leaders who are averse to taking role. Yeah. That is some type of legalistic activity, some type of checklist that has a non-spiritual element to it. The reality of it is taking role is a highly spiritual element because it is ministry to people.
Yeah.
And when they are not there, there's usually something that has triggered that. And the moment that you call them or contact them or email them, you are doing ministry. So Absolutely. Move people to groups and get them in a place where you can monitor attendance. There are a lot of good software out there about attendance monitoring. You know, there are some that have apps that you can just go to your smartphone and do the roll real quickly. It's easy to do, but it is so important.
And that's that point number two there, that they're no longer attending your group. But the thing is, you've got to be, we mentioned the apps and tools to track that, but it's one thing to track it. You've got to act on it. You've got to have a system in your class or in your church in place where, you know, Charlie has missed a week. Well, right. Charlie missed week two. We're contacting him.
Right.
You've got to have people that are on top of things. You've got to have people that are taking the role, keeping the records, checking the records, knowing whenever somebody has not been there and taking action to make contact with Charlie and see what's going on. Because if not, it's one thing if you're taking role, but if you're not looking at it,
right,
what does it matter?
Right. This goes back to the old Sunday school system that really originated in Great Britain, Robert Raikes, and then it came across the Atlantic and became something that was very vibrant in the mid-19th century, and then more so as it entered into the 20th century when we churches began to say Sunday school was no longer relevant, and that was because the program became the end instead of the means. We threw it out, and we threw away a lot of good functions that all small groups need to have. I am not advocating a return to the Sunday school model. I am advocating a return to some of the elements of the Sunday school model. Let me give you an example. A church where I was a deacon, a layman in Anniston, Alabama, every Sunday school class, every adult class, had four key leaders. That's how we were organized. There was a teacher. At the time, we called them an associate teacher. They were basically an apprentice that would be there to fill in and to start new groups. Then there was an outreach leader, someone who was responsible for bringing new people or leading to bring new people into the group. And then there was an inreach leader. And the inreach leader, every week, went over the roll, found out who was there, and then contacted that Sunday afternoon. That was the process, someone who was not there. Back door was shut tight through this mechanism.
Yeah, because you're contacting, people are noticing that you're not there. You're less likely to miss the next week.
That's right.
And those flimsy excuses, well, you know, we were tired or whatever, we got in late, they start not making sense. And you start understanding that that is a flimsy excuse and I should get my tail out of bed and go to church.
Well, as I've gotten older, I think one of the worst things that I could do was to be an inreach director. Because I would call someone and
that would not go well.
No, it would go well because you know my personality. And, you know, I'd say, well, you're fired. Well, you can't fire someone. You know, it doesn't work that way.
You'd be trying to implement that ticket system Robbie Gallaty was talking about on the podcast last week.
They need to go back and listen to that, the John Wesley ticket.
You're still trying to figure that one out. Lifeway Sunday school tickets or something. I see that coming.
Oh, wow.
All righty. That brings us to number three. And this one is a little bit more difficult to track because fewer people have access to this information. You would think. Number three is the decreased in giving patterns.
A decreased giving patterns of a church member or a church attender is one of the most reliable early warning signs. It can be an early warning sign because people are less committed and therefore they're giving less. It can also be an early warning sign because there are financial troubles within the family and they need ministry. That is why in the churches, the last two churches where I served as pastor, and I know other pastors do this, I asked the financial secretary to give me a heads up if there were significant changes, usually declines. That meant I had some level of knowledge of people in the church and their giving, not dollar amount. She would never tell me that Jonathan's tithe has gone down from $150,000 a year to $100,000 a year.
I had cutbacks at work, you know.
But she would say, Pastor, the Smith family, over the last 6 months, their giving has gone down about 50%. Mm-hmm. And I would never contact someone and say, why aren't you giving as much? But yeah. I would contact him and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. If it was appropriate, I'd say, let's go to lunch. And I would just listen. Almost every time I heard the reason why. In fact, I cannot think of any time when I called someone who had a decreased giving pattern that I did not hear a ministry need.
A lot of times whenever you saw the decrease in giving patterns, did that also match a decreased attendance pattern?
I don't know. I wasn't monitoring that. I would suspect so. I would suspect that commitment was waning at both levels.
Yeah.
But in this particular church, I didn't have the early warning signs that I was watching on attendance. I did have the early warning signs that I was watching on giving.
So let's just camp right here real quick on these three, because these are really related to one another. Is this something that each individual ministry should be kind of watching? So, like, my wife should be watching the children's ministry and seeing that this family's coming less and less. She alerts that to the adult minister, and they're watching their people and the youth watching theirs. Is this something that the staff should watch together, or is it something that should be almost siloed and watching your specific ministry area?
I don't like the siloed approach, because if Beth and the children's ministry found that Susie was not coming as much, I would rather her be communicating with the rest of the staff, and then someone will say, oh, yeah, let me tell you what's going on with the dad. So I would rather it be something that is discussed in staff meeting rather than siloed.
So very important to come together as a staff to look at these.
Yeah,
and watch these patterns.
And that might be a once a month thing that you do in a ministry staff. Hey, this is what we're seeing with this family. Does anybody know what's going on?
Kind of an update once a month, but you're still watching it on a weekly basis.
That's good. That's good.
All right, so let's move on to the last three here, and these are a lot different than those first few. But number four, a major participant in a church conflict.
Okay, here's how this will work. There are some people who are participants in church conflict on a regular basis. They're major participants, and unfortunately, they will come back again and again.
The ones that you wish would drop out?
Yeah, and we've written about the church bullies and the naysayers, and the ones that if you say yes, they'll say no, and if you say goodbye, I say hello. That's a Beatles song.
Yes, I did know that one.
So if that person is involved in a major conflict, that's not the person I'm talking about. I am talking about, this is what I would call the Amy Jordan type of church member.
Now, the perfect church member?
Well, everybody that's heard me talk about Amy J. understands, we have two Amys here. We have Amy Thompson that we call Amy the Louder, and then we have Amy J. that we call Amy the Sweeter. And Amy J., if she got riled up in a major conflict, and she can, if it gets to that point, she can, but it would probably be so disconcerting to her and her normal way of life that she would be uncomfortable with that. And it's those type of people that are normally not involved in church conflict that turn around and get involved in church conflict. It's those type of people that you might see drop out of the church.
So you were saying that if it was Amy J. causing turmoil, that would be a surprise, but if it was Amy T. causing turmoil, that wouldn't?
Oh, yeah. The Amy T. types keep coming back.
They just keep coming back.
Yeah, they'll be back again and again and again and just causing more trouble.
The next point
And by the way, as full disclosure, they're both here hearing our descriptions.
Yeah, they're all right here. And I'll probably pay for that at the end of the podcast.
Yeah,
all right.
At least I outrank them.
Yes, that's a good point. All right, number five, and this is one I think that you mentioned also in the – we kind of touched on it earlier with the updates, the monthly updates between the staff, but family problems, and that's something that can lead to early dropouts.
Yeah. Again, me providing biographical information or my experiences is not always good, because it's dated for one thing, and then another thing, there's a lot more good experiences out there. But I am going to share this one. The year was 1992, and a family had begun dropping or attending less frequently. And it was a family that I noticed just visibly, because they sat in the same place, even in the first worship service, and they were great supporters of mine, and I saw particularly the husband and wife attend less and less. Found out that their son had AIDS.
Oh, wow.
And I had never, I had heard of AIDS. I shouldn't say I'd never heard of it, but I had never been around that at all. And, go back to then.
Yeah.
Go back to then and all the implications thereof. There was deep grief within the family over the fact that he had what was then a terminal illness. There was shame within the family. Basically, what I had to do was to tell them I love them unconditionally, and the son, the adult son. I had to let them know that they were welcome. And I began to get people, I don't want it to be all first person. Others began to surround them and love them and to minister to them. And they came back because they knew they were accepted instead of rejected. That was a clear family problem. I was actually with the young man when he died, by his bedside with his family, and so I think I would have found out about this regardless of approaching them when I saw the decline in attendance and then knew that they had a family problem. But this family was so recognizable and held so many positions of leadership in the church. When they missed a Sunday, you would notice mm-hmm. it because they were so active in the church. Many times, family problems embarrass church members. Many times they create such a busyness dealing with that issue. Many times they just drain you emotionally. And so Sunday becomes your rest day and you don't get up because you've been dealing with these family issues for so long. So if you're hearing about family problems, there is a likelihood that that person may be headed toward less activity and then dropping out. Mm.
And what's some, give some examples of what family problems you may, I mean, not specifics, but I guess like financial or job loss, maybe you mentioned children, maybe children do something to, you know, quote, bring shame on yeah. the parents. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that that's how parents may feel about it. But those are the kind of things you're talking about there.
Single most common is divorce.
Okay.
So when divorce takes place in a church, you typically lose both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you almost always lose one of them.
Yeah.
Because it's awkward for a husband and wife or former mm-hmm. ex-husband and wife to be together in a church. And usually, you know, sometimes as a leader, we have to bless the departure. We understand. And they may come to us and say, I can't go to this church anymore. It's just too awkward. Where do you recommend? That's healthy.
Yeah.
But there are other times where they both leave and you say, at least one of you stay here, and we'll help the other one as well. So divorce still today is the single most common family problem that causes people to drop out. And it goes not only to just the emotional drain of it, but having a split family now in the same church.
All right, and that leads us to number six, and that's moral failure.
Yeah, moral failure is a common dropout. There's so many elements to this, Jonathan, and I really don't know where to begin, but I'll find a place to begin. One of the elements of moral failure is a sense that the church is going to shame you, and so let's make this a sexual affair as far as the moral failure. Okay, I've been involved in an affair. I know the church's stance on this. There's no way I'm coming back. I'm repentant, and I have asked my spouse for forgiveness. We're trying to work through this, but I know my church, and I know people in the church, and I'm not going back to that church because I know what they're going to say of me. And, you know, it's the old scarlet letter thing. Mm-hmm. I know I've got the A on me and the adulterer label on me, and I am not going to go back to that church. So that's one element of moral failure. Another element of moral failure is when they are unrepentant, and again, we could use whether it's an affair or some other type of visible known sin within the church, and the church does not know how to handle it, even if they're repentant. In other words, that becomes a church discipline issue, where churches do not know how to handle sinful situation, and so. You know, you got both of those, and both of those reasons tend to lead to dropouts. The church doesn't know what to do, and the people are shamed. Many times, because of the time it takes to deal with people in moral failure, either repentant or non-repentant, pastors and other church leaders elect to do nothing. Hmm. Because it becomes more convenient to do nothing than to try to be redemptive, restorative, and to bring that person to a point, if necessary, of repentance. So all of those are reasons why people with moral failure tend to drop out of the church.
All right, today's podcast has been sponsored by Vanderblumen Search Group. They're the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vanderbloom and Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation on early warning signs, because early warning signs are indicative of a way to keep people in the church, and it's a way of greater church health. But I also want to close by speaking of Vanderbloom. Stay in touch with William, the president of Vanderbloom and Search Group. I was talking to a church yesterday, a search committee of church, and they said, we've been looking. And I said, are y'all familiar with Vanderblooming Search Group? Well, we've heard about the company on there. Please call them. Yeah.
I think I saw that list that you were fixing to talk to, and I said, these people need to call William.
Can need to call.
Man, it's been,
It's been
frustrating
a while.
And I don't even have any connection to the church at all. I'm like, call him already.
Call Vanderbloom and Search Group. So I've watched Vanderbloom and Search Group just to the church, it almost seems like a miracle. We've been looking, and they say, here's a candidate we think you might need to consider.
Yeah.
Oh. So.
Well, I know another church that had had a pastor, a big church, historic church, had a pastor, didn't work out. They did the pastor search committee thing, didn't work out, brought an interim pastor this time, was going to go through this search again. Church is kind of, you know, in limbo because they really don't know what they're doing pastor-wise. They really don't know how to find somebody really well. Interim pastor came in and was like, guys, you need to call Vanderbloom and Search Group. Okay. Reluctantly did it, signed a deal with them. 6 months later, they've got somebody that they've got two candidates, really good candidates Vanderbloom have found for them, and they're going to make a decision here in the next few weeks. And a lot simpler process, a lot smoother process for the church.
Right.
And I think they're going to get a better candidate to lead them forward.
Yep, because they know what they're doing. That's what they do.
Exactly.
That's what they do all the time. Well, again, we don't usually spend this much time of our podcast talking about a non-related issue, but I just want to remind people how important Vanderbloom and Search Group has become. And, you know, the line that you use, they are the premier pastor search firm. That's really true.
So true.
They're out there. I noticed yesterday you were wearing Vanderbloom and socks.
I wore my Vander socks yesterday. People at home, he sent out, as his Christmas gift from the company, they sent out socks with his logo on them. Really cool, stylish socks. So I wore my Vander socks yesterday. I was proud of my Vander socks.
Do we have TomRainer.com and Rainer on Leadership socks?
Nobody wants your face on their socks. Well, there are a few people, actually, I think, that would probably want you.
Is his face on the sock?
No, but his logo. But you don't have a logo, so.
Okay,
we're going to have one of those soon, though.
Okay, very good.
Maybe. If we can find it.
Okay.
All right, that's enough. Enough of us rambling forever at the end. All right, so find us on iTunes, give us a rating or review, and join us online at TomRainer.com.